Social Services Minister Scott Morrison joins me every Monday. He's in our Canberra studio. Minister, good morning.
G'day, Ray.
There's been a series of cabinet leaks about the push by Immigration Minister Peter Dutton to strip citizenship from second-generation Australians. Apparently, half a dozen ministers were very much opposed to the measure, with Julie Bishop, George Brandis and Malcolm Turnbull among those who argued against it. Who's leaking?
Oh, I don't know, Ray, but what I do know is that the measure that was brought to Cabinet, which was the one that said if you were a dual citizen and you're involved in these terrorist activities, then we'll cancel your citizenship. It's a very similar proposal to the one that I initiated when I was Immigration Minister, and I'm very pleased that Peter Dutton has maintained that position. I mean, I think Peter's been doing a great job as Immigration Minister. He's certainly held the line on border protection and all of these other issues and preventing bikies coming back into the country and things like that. And I think, he's continued that trajectory, and I commend him for it. And, look, that's the proposal. I think that's a fair dinkum way of dealing with the issue. If you hold two citizenships and you want to go and fight for Daesh, well, you can't come back.
So you are someone who would argue against stripping citizenship from second-generation Australians who are engaged in terrorism?
No, look, there's a discussion paper, and the issue here is, how do you prevent someone who's gone over there? And remember, that's who we're talking about. We're not talking about people who go for a holiday to Great Britain to see their relatives or the Ireland or Canada or wherever. We're talking about people who got on a plane, flew into Turkey, crossed over at the Syrian border, and got involved with this madness with Daesh. Now, I would welcome any opportunity to look at any option that prevents those people to coming back to Australia.
So you would support what's been proposed?
Well, I think there's another way to do it, which is actually in the discussion paper, where you can actually, someone can continue to be an Australian citizen, but you can remove their ability to enter and remain in Australia. In the same way, if someone goes to prison, they don't get to vote. They're still a citizen, but there is an entitlement of citizenship which is suspended for a period of time. Now, the issue here is when people get over there and they get into this madness, it changes them forever. We know that was the case when people returned from Afghanistan previously and the high level of their involvement in terrorist activity in the decade that follows. So, you know, we can all get very interested in the broader issues in this debate, but there's a very serious national interest issue here, and that is it, when these characters come back, there is a very high risk based on form that they'll get involved in terrorist activity. So I think we've got to use every measure at our disposal. That's why I support the Prime Minister and the Immigration Minister so strongly.
Did Malcolm Turnbull get cross with you?
No, look, Malcolm and I, as you know, we're good friends and we can have
these
discussions.
But did he get cross with you? Did he say,
no,
Scott, I'm very cross with you?
No, he didn't.
Did he use that
Malcolm
tone?
Malcolm respects my views,
no,
and
but
I respect his.
I know that you wouldn't swear at anyone in the ministry, but if he were to say, Scott, I'm very cross with you, would you say, bugger off, Malcolm?
I wouldn't care. Because, look, you have to have robust debates in Canada.
Well, it's not robust. It's fair dinkum. It's handbags at 10 paces. I'm cross.
Well, I'm in there. I know what goes on. And
so does everyone else now, thanks to everyone leaking it.
Well, actually, they don't, because I think there was some very self-serving sourcing of articles in the press. But that said,
so the leak wasn't accurate?
No, I don't think it really did convey what occurred in the meeting, and I'm not about to go into what did. All I know is,
well, then we could clear it up and get the truth out, and then you could put your name to it.
Well, then it wouldn't be Cabinet. Then it would be reality television, and I don't think that's
what it already is to a certain extent, according to some people inside Cabinet.
I think that's unhelpful, and I've never been one to engage in that sort of business. But I think it is important that you have a robust debate about this, and I think that, you know, the party's broader position, supported by those backbench members, I've made it pretty clear. Remember, it was Luke Simpkins and Steve Irons more than a year ago who turned up with Kelly O'Dwyer and a Labor member to actually support changes along these lines. And I was Immigration Minister at the time. I was very supportive of them doing that. And I think, you know, this is an important debate to have. But there has to be one clear message. I mean, you can't sugarcoat this. We're not talking about people who are, you know, who are acting up in a modest way. We're talking about people who go and fight for terrorists.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think the vast majority of Australians would be with you, and that's why I'm you know, testing the water in relation to Mr. Turnbull, because I think he's misread it yet again, as he's done previously.
Well, he's entitled to his view, and there's an open discussion and a consultation with the Australian community about this, and that's what the Prime Minister's seeking to do. But let's be clear, the actual measure regarding dual citizenship is one that was adopted by the Cabinet and which is supported by the party. Everyone knows where the Liberal Party and National Party stands on this issue. Who knows where Bill Shorten stands on this matter? He wants to play politics.
Well, he's worried about today is getting same-sex marriage on the agenda very quickly, and he doesn't seem to be worried about too much else. I mean, he doesn't appear to be a person of much depth, the opposition leader.
Well, he's put up the white flag on the budget. That's clear. I mean, after not only, I think, 5 days of questioning in the Parliament, he's walked away from that and he's gone off on a whole range of other issues. The sort of issues which I think are really going to dominate the ALP's national conference. I mean, they're split on the issue of same-sex marriage, about conscience votes and mandating positions, which is what the left wants to do at the Labor Party. They've all been flipping and flopping their positions now for some time, whether it's Bill Shorten or others. Look, they're entitled to do that, but they have an issue with that. They've got an issue with border protection. They don't know what they're going to do on that. They can't support turnbacks, and they're going to have to deal with that at their national conference as well. So everyone knows where we stand on those issues.
Just before we move on, because you are a friend, is that too stretching it, of Malcolm Turnbull? Did he say to you, Scott, I'm very cross with you?
No. And I don't know why you think he would.
Did he say I'm very... I mean, I just think the old vernacular that you use in the Cronulla Lees Club when someone dud you, and, you know, you wouldn't say I'm very cross, but it appears Malcolm, being so refined, would say, Scott, you know, I'm not happy with this. I'm very cross with you.
Found Malcolm to be a fairly fair-dinkum bloke, but I'm not going to be talking about the Sharks today after yesterday's effort at Cogger.
They were very ordinary. Okay, last week, legislation introduced to impose a one-month waiting period before young people could access the dole. How's that physically going to work?
Well, if you're looking for a job and you've just left school, you're under age 25, then you have to wait 4 weeks before you get on the dole. And in that four-week period, you've got to apply for jobs, you've got to put a CV together, you've got to get involved with the job service provider, and you've got to have a go. And if you don't, we're not going to give you the dole, which would be the youth allowance up to the age of 25. Now, we've got important exemptions in there for if you've got a disability or if you've got a mental illness or if you've, can't physically return home because of what might be abusive issues with parents and things like that. So we've got all the safeguards in place. All the excuses people who oppose these measures would say, well, you can't do it in these circumstances. Well, we agree. We're not proposing we do. What we're saying is when you leave school, the first place you should go is either to further study or go and get a job, not Centrelink. And Bill Shorten wants to run a shuttle from the school gate to the Centrelink front door. And those who are opposing these measures, I think, are sending the wrong message to young people about what we expect them to do. Now, we also agree that you've got to invest heavily in helping young people to get those jobs. And that's why in this budget we've invested some $370 million in trying to help young people who are finding it hard to get job ready, to stay in a job and stick in a job. So I think it's a comprehensive set of measures. It deals with those who we need to get off the couch, but it also deals with those who have some real issues of trying to get jobs. And $5.5 billion to support small business means that we're creating those jobs in small businesses where these young people can go and get a job.
Yeah, but you need Senate support. Obviously, you're referring to those people who aren't supporting the Senate. There's talk that Liberal Democrat Senator David Leahenham will back your measures, but others won't. So what do you do to convince them?
The support is actually broader than that, and I'm not going to verbal senators. I'm in the business of talking to them privately. I've been talking to them again just this morning. And as usual, I'm not going to raise expectations around this. I'm just going to do my job and work the issues through with the senators, and others can commentate on it. But I'm just getting on with the business of making my case to the senators. And once again, the senators on the crossbench are the ones who are thrown in the middle on this because the Labor Party can't bring themselves to support good policy. They are just a bunch of reactionaries who want to say no to everything and play politics with the Senate. Now, thankfully, the crossbenchers are engaging with us and don't want to be the pawns of Bill Shorten for his political game in the Senate.
OK, when you were Immigration Minister before the current portfolio, you announced a policy of resettling boat people in regional towns. You apparently did a deal with Clive Palmer, allowing a 5-year temporary visa instead of a usual 3, as long as those people move to regional areas. Now, is that still going to happen?
Well, that's the policy, and the announcement on the weekend was that the New South Wales State Government is engaging with that. And look, let's just see what people do. That was part of the
Is Mike Baird the first to sign off on this Safe Haven Enterprise visa scheme that we spoke about?
That's my understanding, yes. I mean, I'm not as closely involved with it as I used to be, for obvious reasons, but that's my understanding. And look, if they want to give it a go, good for them. It wouldn't, I understand it from the report, that it doesn't include Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong, because it has to be a regional area.
Yeah, sure.
And look, if it works, good. And I'm pleased they're going to give it a go. But it was part of the negotiation with the crossbench we went through last year. It was their idea. I was happy to back it in return for getting those measures through. I thought that was a common sense thing to do. We'll see how it works.
Okay. Now, just finally, this one about same-sex marriage bill today that Bill Shorten appears to think is the most important thing on the horizon. And it is very important for some people. I acknowledge that. The Prime Minister has fended off questions about the budget, about this over the weekend, I should say, saying we should concentrate on the budget. I know you're opposed to it, but where should it rank in some sort of order of importance in relation to other matters?
Well, look, it was dealt with in the last parliament, and, you know, Julia Gillard voted against it, and she said she was in favour of it. So, I mean, I don't know how the Labor Party can sort of now all of a sudden think it's the issue of the day when they were in government. They dealt with it in their way, and it came to naught. What I think is the
I'm just interrupting you. I think that's a very important point you make. That it's all well and good for Bill Shorten to be jumping up and down and for the Prime Minister's sister to be jumping up and down saying this is vital. I mean, the Labor Party had quite a number of years in government where they did bugger all about it.
Yeah, there was a bill and most of them voted against it. Well, many of them voted against it. But putting that to one side, I mean, I think we have to be careful here. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, feeling about this, and and what happened in Ireland was obviously very significant. But we've still got a budget to pass and very important issues that go to jobs for young Australians in particular, and we've got to get the budget on track. Now, that's our priority, and that's what we're working to. But, look, there are a lot of complexities around this issue. I mean, for example, I mean, what does all this mean for religions such as, you know, any churches or mosques, for that matter, or synagogues? I mean, what are the protections for them about being discriminated against if they refuse to marry people in that situation? I think we've got to be very careful to think through all the consequences here and how all of that's going to be dealt with. It's just not about putting in a private member's bill and try to, you know, capture the politics of the moment and partisanise something, which I don't think should be. I think there has been a reasonable level of respect shown for everybody's views here. I hope that continues. But there also needs to be a pretty hard-headed analysis. I mean, the institution of marriage came from religion. It was adopted by the state. And I've always been a firm believer in the separation of church and state. And the main reason for that is it protects the church. And I think the church's institutions do need to be protected.
Okay. As always, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
Scott Morrison from our Canberra studio.